of the RAP. If you's a real motherfucker, that's the place to be. You know you're never really sure what these dudes will say. Hosted by Zach Amico and Louis J. Gomez for Prez, cause he talks that real shit. When it comes to comedy, man, he's the Joan Jett. Zach holding it down, he's known as a sniper. Got you laughing so hard you might need a diaper. Mondays at noon and every Wednesday too. You got these two coming through to entertain you. Talking to guests and the topics are jamming. Right. And Lewis loves giving shit to his producer Shannon. The superstar worldwide, yeah, Amico slamming. And you never know what the PR rattle thing is planning. So here we go, yeah, you know we're ready to rock. Because the Real Ass Podcast is about to drop.
Woo. What's going on, guys? It's your boy, Lewis J. Gomez. Coming off of a fucking brutal flu. God damn it, did this thing kick my fucking ass. And today, right now, which is Sunday night, 8:43 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is the first time that I felt even, I guess, you know, maybe even 30% of myself, because I've been fucking in bed. If you guys, you know, follow my podcasting and all that other shit, you guys know that I went to LA last week. You know, we set up Lisa Ann with some stuff, set up Michael Bisping with some stuff, and I got back on Tuesday. We did the Roast Masters. I was already feeling sick, and since that time, dude, I've been fucking in bed. Just, dude, my entire neck, the entire front of my neck, swollen, fucking aching. Felt like somebody punched me in my throat on both sides. My entire spine, up and down my back, my fucking, like, dude, every muscle in my body, my I'm talking about everything, dude, down to my toes was aching, and that was probably for 5 days before I even started getting the sniffles and coughs and shit like that, which now, that's what I'm going through now, is I have, like, a stuffy nose and, you know, just all that shit. So I do apologize. This is a makeup episode. This right here is a show. Technically, this is Wednesday's show, because I was too sick to come in Wednesday. I was too sick to come in for Legion of Skanks. So, look, dude, I'm doing something. You know, please, for the love of fucking God, bear with me, guys. You know, I really try to, fucking make sure that I get you guys a podcast, and I never skip. So, this show's going to be a little bit shorter. I'm going to try to do 45 minutes, an hour, maybe. But don't be an asshole and expect, you know, fireworks out of me when I'm dead sick. I'm doing this alone in my fucking bedroom. I'm just doing it because I love you guys, and I don't ever want to skip. Simple as that. There's not even a fucking ad on today's show. I want you guys to know that. I want you to know that. If there's not an ad on the show, that means I'm literally doing it just because, to keep it consistent, just because I love it. It's not like, oh, it's like I had to get paid for it, or I had to make sure an advertisement went out on a certain date. It's just for you motherfuckers, because I love you cocksuckers. So, yeah, I went to LA last week. I had a really good time. Hung out with Joey Diaz, did his podcast. A lot of fun, dude. A lot of fun on Kill Tony as well. Check out both those shows that I did. Let me see. Am I going to plug anything? If I'm going to plug anything, let me just get it out of the way right fucking now. Yeah, just March in Boston and Los Angeles again in March. So me and Dave are going to be in Boston, and then me, Dave, and Jay, all three of us are going to be in L.A., the Comedy Store, Legion of Skanks live podcast, and a stand-up show at the end of March. So look out on the websites, Gomez Comedy, all that shit. Oh yeah, and I'll tell you right now, if you guys fucking love the show, this isn't a video show, but you should know that we do have a video version of the show. We do two shows a week. You know, it's the funniest fucking show on the planet. Real Ass Podcast has come alive and turned into the best and most consistent podcast on the planet Earth. Name another more consistent podcast that is fucking hilarious, that fucking gives you guys, you know, we talk about relevant stuff, interesting topics, interesting guests, funny conversations, funny people coming on the show, funny comedians, introducing you guys you never heard of. Give me another show that does that. Nobody else does it. The video version of the show is available on demand whenever you want. Okay, if you listen on iTunes, you know, it's just the latest 10 episodes available on iTunes. Every episode we've ever done, over 250 episodes on demand, in video, whenever you want them, plus the other 17 shows on the network. It's just $6 a month if you use the promo code RAP at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the promo code RAP. You also get the podcasts 5 days before they go to iTunes. You get them ad-free. You get them fucking I don't know. There's a message board. There's a live chat. There's a lot of shit, guys. Sorry. I'm getting all fucking exhausted. I'm making myself exhausted. Being fucking sick. This fucking sucks fucking dick. And I had to cancel Shiprocked. Right now, everyone is on a cruise ship. Not Puerto Rican Rattlesnake. Not Luis J. Gomez. Zach's on a fucking cruise ship. I got Zach invited to the show. Because Dave ended up not being able to go. Now, I had to fucking pull out. So, no cruise for me. I mean, look, I wasn't losing my mind to go on another cruise. I just went on a cruise a couple months ago, so it's not like I'm, like, really losing sleep over it. But I gotta be honest with you. Excuse me. Sorry, guys. So sorry. Really sorry. Oof. Yeah, it would be nice to not be in freezing New York weather right now. That's it. But when you're sick, to go on a cruise ship right now, first of all, you got to be pretty fucking selfish. Because I got the flu, and this is like the real deal one. I don't know. I'm going to look up what's going on with this flu. But my understanding of this one's like real fucking deal. Flu 2018. Let's see. This year's flu, this is from Forbes, from 12-year-old boy dies after cleared for the flu. Holy shit. How to tell if it's not just a cold? This is NorthJersey.com. Do I have the flu? How to tell if it's not just a cold? If you're hearing that something is going around, you're not alone. That something is the flu. New Jersey has been upgraded to a high activity level of what the Center for Disease Control... What the fuck? This shit's coming in my ears. Sorry, guys. I don't know if you guys even heard that. I don't think you did. But there was an advertisement on that page that started blaring through my ears. Influenza-like illness. The contagious respiratory illness we know as the flu is now reported as widespread throughout the continental United States. Blah, blah, blah. Is it the flu or the cold? All right, fuckface. Can we figure it out? Is it too late for the vaccine? Let's see. The flu symptoms are more severe than a cold, include fever, cough, sore throat, runny nose, or stuffy nose. Really, this isn't a special fucking thing, New Jersey. You didn't even come up with a cool fucking website or a fun thing. You just get the generic same old bullshit you gave out. This is the problem. This is why people hate Jersey. Jersey's like that. Jersey's like the fucking one dude who like gets picked on in high school and nobody even really cares to back that kid up. Because he does actually fucking smell. And he is actually a jerk-off. And he never actually brings any good fucking ideas to the table. That's what New Jersey is. New Jersey is the kid who gets bullied. And then even all the good, righteous kids that would normally stand up for the kids that are getting bullied, they all turn a blind eye. And they say, you know what? Fuck Jersey. You know what Jersey is? Jersey, you remember the scene from Full Metal Jacket? Where, you know, Private Pile, he keeps on fucking up, eats the jelly donut, everyone's having to do push-ups and shit, because he's just a fucking fat, schlubby idiot, and he won't get his shit together. He's in the fucking Marine Corps, and you're not even gonna try. You're gonna be this fucking fat, schlubby piece of shit. So, you know, after a while, everyone's being nice to him, especially the one dude, his boy, okay, with the glasses, okay? But after a while, they're like, dude, I can't fucking stand it, dude. Private Pile keeps on fucking up. So one night, they all get up in the middle of the night, and they tie Private Pile up. Okay, I remember this scene from when I was a very young kid. I watched this movie when I was way too young. Maybe 7 or 8 years old, I saw this. This scene fucked me up. And obviously, spoiler alert, when he kills himself later on in the movie, it really fucks me up. But they end up taking bars of soap in their socks, and they beat the shit out of Private Pile. They just start pounding on his stomach while they hold him down. And they all go, everybody in the bunker, all the Marines, the young Marines, 19-year-old dudes, all take a whack on his chest and his stomach with bars of soap as he cries and screams into a towel that they're holding him his mouth closed with. And even his fucking buddy, with the nerdy guy with the glasses that always defended him and wanted to get his back and helped him out, even he fucking whacked him. And he whacked him harder. He kept on whacking him. He kept on going, fucking mother, fucking cock, fucking sucking motherfucker. That's New Jersey. Private Pile. That's New Jersey. That's what we all feel about New Jersey. We would all beat the shit out of Jersey with a bar of soap, okay? And we kind of feel bad about it, but not really. We'd all do it. We'd take the extra wax, because that's what you do every fucking time. And I was born in Jersey, so I can say that, guys. That's like saying the N-word and being a black person. I'm allowed to fucking... I also wasn't even just born in Jersey. I was born in the worst of the Jersey. Patterson, P-Town, nigga. People get murdered on streets. You guys don't even know about that shit. You don't even know about that life, motherfuckers. I don't know. They moved me to the suburbs. I wasn't even really raised in Jersey. I was just born there. Okay, so let me see what's going on with this flu. All right, this year's flu is nasty and getting worse, and now we've shut down the CDC. Have we shut down the Center for Disease Control? Have we? All I know is right now my roommate is a huge, huge Eagles fan. Huge. And I guess the Eagles are fucking murdering it right now. In this playoff game. I gotta be honest with you. How much are Super Bowl tickets? I bet you Super Bowl tickets are crazy expensive, right? Because, look, if the Eagles win tonight, it looks like they are. I would love to be able to get Big J Super Bowl tickets. But they would have to cost thousands of dollars, right? But if we got a few buddies to chip in on them, that could be... Or is it impossible to get Super Bowl? I have no idea. I mean, it would be... It's only a couple weeks away, right? Or a week or two away. So... Huh. Let's see. How much are Super Bowl tickets? Oh, look, they're available at StubHub.com right now. No. From $50? No, it's Pro Bowl. Super Bowl experience. These are different things. These are parties. No, these are all just parties. How do you get Super Bowl tickets, guys? I don't know. I'm sure there's fucking real dudes that are listening to me right now and just laughing their ass off, because I'm sure it's not that easy. I'm sure these things are probably sold out fucking years in advance. Are they? I have no idea, guys. I am such not a fucking dude. Did I have a ticket sponsor on one of these fucking shows? What's going on right now? All right, anyway. I digress. All right. Back to the flu. I was saying something about the flu. The H3N2. The flu season is looking particularly bad this year. We already had signs of trouble back in November and December when it emerged that the flu vaccine was not very effective against the dominant strain that is circulating this year, which is called H3N2. Boop, boop, beep, boop, boop. No, that's C3PO. But same shit. Until this past Friday, it seemed like the peak of the flu season might have occurred just around the new year, just shown in this chart from the CDC. The chart has a peak, blah, blah, blah. The red line is spiking, blah, blah, blah. More alarming is the reports of young, healthy people dying from the flu. A 10-year-old boy caught the flu and died within a few days. Just before Christmas, a healthy 21-year-old man in Pennsylvania came down with the flu, and he rapidly went downhill until he was rushed to the emergency room, and he died. They died, guys. I could be fucking dying. And nobody is helping me. That's the other part you guys don't even fucking get. Right? That's the thing I don't think people, like, realize once in a while. Like, I literally have nobody to help me if I was dying right now. I have nobody. Nobody. I have my son. My son wouldn't know what to fucking do. My son... He would just fucking sit next to my body if I died. Ralph, I guess. Ralph would be the person. Because I would probably not show up or not answer my phone for a couple days. And that'd be that. But everyone else, think about it. If you died, if you're listening to this, if you died, how quickly would somebody fucking find you? You know? Who would take care of the funeral arrangements? I have no idea. I think I would be fucking... I have no idea who would do it. I guess my son's mother. Guys, all I want is somebody to make me soup. That's what I'm saying. Can one of you come over and make me a fucking hot bowl of chicken soup? This whole time, that's all I would have wanted. Sorry, I'm sparking a blunt right now, guys. Yeah, I know I probably shouldn't be smoking a blunt when I have the flu. But what am I going to do? Not smoke? You fucking crazy doggy? I'm not a fucking asshole. Oh, here we go. Alright. Also, to be honest with you, this flu didn't really fuck up my throat as much as it fucked up. Like, it was like my body, my throat hurt, but it didn't hurt from like swallowing or smoking. My throat hurt like to the touch. Like, it was very tender. If I touched my fingers to my throat. So, I don't know. It's a little bit different, man. This is some fucking crazy shit going around, guys. I do not wish this upon anybody. But I would, in order to get on Shiprocked on that cruise, I would have had to lie and say that I haven't been sick over the past couple weeks. And this is like a really major flu going around. So, to be honest with you, I guarantee you people are going to get crazy sick on that boat. There's no way. It's too much of an epidemic right now. And I'm not going to fucking... I don't know, dude. I'm going to be miserable shaking on a... on a boat in a shitty, like, uncomfortable bed. No offense to the cruise company. I'm sure it's a great bed, but... In the best case scenario, when you go on a cruise ship, the best case scenario, it's like a 2 or 3 star hotel. Like, the quality of life. You know what I'm saying? The quality of your food, the quality of, like, you know, the soap and the lotions and the shampoo and conditioner and, like, your washcloths and your sheets and towels. It's not really, like, even the nicer boats... It's kind of shittier quality stuff. It's weird. So, when you get off a boat, even if there's not a flu going around, you feel like shit as it is. You don't really feel clean. You always feel like there's a little bit of soap scum on you. It just wasn't the right fucking time to go, guys. I apologize. And you know what? Now you guys get a live Legion of Skanks this week. Because you weren't going to get one, because we didn't have one in the can, and we were just going to record one on the boat. All right. I want to talk about this real quick. Monique. Monique is a comedian. I don't even know Monique shit that well. So I'm not even gonna hate. I'm not gonna hate on Monique. I guess some people are calling her a shitty comic. I don't know her stand-up. I'm sure I've seen it throughout the years. She's an Academy Award-winning actress. You know, she's been around for a long time. Monique is a legend in her own right, without a doubt, unquestionably, right? So I guess this past week, Monique was given an offer from Netflix for $500,000 for a comedy special. Now, I think on the surface that sounds pretty goddamn good. Most people are like, yeah, $500,000 for a comedy special? Fucking incredible. I know how much some of these other guys make for their specials. I won't name names, but like guys that do Comedy Central specials that aren't huge names, they get $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 in the very high, high, high end. You know? Yeah, I mean, $500,000 for comedy specials, it's fucking big. That's a lot of money. It's not like that's just like, they throw it to fucking anybody. Like, that's like a lot of money for a comedy special. I don't know how much Monique makes for other comedy specials. If I had to assume, it's not much more than that. I don't know, but if I had to assume, whatever, right? Netflix, they've been very public recently because... I guess Amy Schumer recently went through a thing because... Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle were paid $20 million for their specials. They got $20 million deals with Netflix. And Amy Schumer was offered $11 million. And her people came back and said, fuck that, we want more. And then I guess they upped hers like $13 or $14 million. I don't know the numbers, and I might be getting them wrong, so I do apologize. But long story short, you know, Monique sees these numbers, and she goes to Netflix, and she's like, nah, fuck that. I want $20 million. So, this is a quote. She said, I'm asking that you stand with me to boycott Netflix for gender bias and color bias. I was offered a $500,000 deal last week to do a comedy special. However, Amy Schumer is offered $11 million, Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle $20 million. She then pointed out that after the renegotiation, Schumer's deal was up to $13 million. Netflix also pointed out that Rock and Chappelle are legends. Let's see. Then she went on to say, well, we believe that's what Monique will bring. We said, what about my resume? They said, we don't go off resumes. And then she asked, what about Amy Schumer? And they responded that she has sold out Madison Square Garden as a huge summer movie, to which Monique said, is that not Amy Schumer's resume? According to the video, Monique said that the streaming giant thought of her as a legend, to which she said, why shouldn't I get what the legends are getting? Shortly after, actress and fellow comedian Wanda Sykes tweeted to Monique saying, thank you for speaking out. Netflix offered me less than half your $500,000. I was offended, but found another home. The other home being Epic. So, yeah, I mean, come on now. You know, you gotta look at what it is. You know, I'm as a business person, I say, more power to you, Monique. Go out and negotiate. You know, go get what you're worth. But to tell people to boycott the streaming service because they won't pay you what you feel as if you're worth, it's just kind of childish. I don't know. I mean, what type of message do we send to people when you're saying stomp your feet on the ground and cry to get your way, instead of going like, wait, why would they offer these people this, and why are they offering me that? The reality is, more people are fans of Amy Schumer, Chris Rock, and Dave Chappelle than they are of Monique. It's a fact. I don't give a shit what you want me to say, okay? You just look at the... I don't even know the ratio there, but I promise you there's... She's actually... If you look at just based off the amount of people that are true fans of these people, I promise you that she's getting more than her fair share, okay? Because I don't believe that she has 1/40th the fan base that Dave Chappelle has, okay? Because that would be the numbers, 20 million or 500,000. That's 1/40th, right? So, no, I think that Dave Chappelle is, you know, the biggest comedian of all time right now, possibly. Chris Rock is debatable. Schumer was on top of the fucking world. When was Monique ever on top of the world? When did anyone ever say, oh my God, Monique is my favorite comic in the fucking world. Oh my God, we need her. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's people that say that, but not the numbers that these guys are getting. There's just, it's a weird thing. I don't know. I mean, and then it comes down to, like, you know, for me, I fucking work my dick off. I would suck a dick for a $500,000 offer. I mean, $500,000, it's so much fucking money. It's so much money to go out and do what you love. And you can do that once every couple years, and you're complaining about it. You're tweeting fucking boycott this company, woe is me, because you don't have enough. I'm sorry. It's not super relatable. I don't think it's fucking very likable. You know, when Amy Schumer said she wanted more money, yeah, of course, I said, God bless her. She should be asking for more money, you know? She should. If she has an agent or a manager, okay, and they hear that somebody else is making more money, no matter what, I don't give a fuck if they're not, if she doesn't hear somebody else is making more money, your agent, your manager's job is always to go out and get more money. Every single time they come back with an offer, it's their job to go and try to get more money. But don't start citing race and gender. You're talking about black people and women. It's fucking bananas. She's talking about black people, Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle, and a woman and Amy Schumer. So now she's saying they're being biased against, you have to be a black woman? That's broken down very specifically. It's because she's a black woman that they're discriminating against her? Are you fucking crazy? There's not the demand for it. Nobody fucking cares. If she doesn't do another special, nobody's gonna care. Dave Chappelle, people were begging him to do specials for years. Years and years and years. Nobody is fucking knocking on Monique's door going like, oh my God, we really, really need a Monique special. And that's just the harsh reality. I'm sorry. There's not many comics in the world that people are knocking down their doors going like, oh my God, we need this out of this person. So the message should be for young black women or men or white fucking dudes or chicks or whatever, Asian people, it doesn't matter, fuck it, for anybody, is to go make yourself the fucking best. Go make yourself a commodity. And make yourself extraordinarily valuable, you know? And make yourself and separate yourself from everybody else, and then you can set your own fucking price tag. And then set your own price tag, and then if you don't get it, walk. Do you think Dave Chappelle, if they didn't pay his $20 million, do you think that he would have been saying boycott Netflix? Or do you think he would have just independently released it? You know, $20 million, what is $20 million divided by 10? How many would you have to sell? Let's see, what's $20 million divided by 10? 2 million. So yeah, she'd have to, in order to do it herself, she'd have to sell roughly 2.5 million copies of a special for 10 bucks a pop. So go make that money. If you have the fan base, go make that money. Go sell it independently. But could you imagine Chris Rock going on Twitter and tweeting, boycott Netflix? They won't give me as much money as they give other people. Boycott Netflix? Come on. It's just childish. I don't know, man. And then to cite racism and sexism, I mean, holy shit. The people that they're paying this money to are black and they're women. Come on now. What type of fucking world do we live in? Where we have multimillionaires, Academy Award winning celebrities, and they're still playing the victim. That's fucking crazy to me. And then people are like hashtagging Team Monique. Like, what are you doing? This bitch is so rich. I know this isn't real, but what is Monique's net worth? Monique net worth. Let's see. 13 million. Of course she wants $20 million to do a special. Of course she wants it. Yeah, these things are never accurate. I don't know. It might not be real. Yeah, that's what all these websites say. And I guess like her Oscar speech, she wasn't like kissing the ass of the industry, so she thinks that people are trying to fuck her now. I don't know, man. There's something about the rich and famous acting like victims that drives me out of my mind. You know, when's the last time Monique had a hard day? Monique's been famous for a long time. You know, she's been on television doing well for a long time. It's like, just stop and smell the roses once in a while. I'm not saying don't strive for more, don't push for more. Yes, you should definitely do that. Okay, but it's not simply just fucking screaming and going, I want it, give it to me, it's mine. People like Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle and Amy Schumer, the reason they're good for everybody in the industry, and you know, I say this about Conor McGregor in MMA, is because they go and they open up that window so far that it becomes like, oh, well, wow. You know, the bottom line and what people are making ends up kind of being raised a little bit. When comedians are making $20 million contracts and selling at Madison Square Garden, comedy becomes cool again, you know? And it just sets it in people's minds, subconsciously even, that comics are more worthwhile and what we're doing is more worthwhile. You would think that they'd fucking raise the rates in the comedy scene again. They haven't done that in a long fucking time. I'll tell you that much. Alright, that's really all I gotta say about Monique. I'm sorry, guys, if I'm all stuffy and I sound like shit. I know this isn't the greatest podcast, but I am committed to the real ass fucking experience. You guys are getting to be a part of it. We're on a journey together. Oh, yeah. This blunt is kind of fucking me up, too, guys. I'm not gonna lie. Oh, shit. Fucking Monique. I wonder what Bill Burr makes on his comedy specials. Do people know that? Because he's not getting $20 million. Yeah, there's no way. None of these people are. I want to talk about this for a second. It's really funny. I'm on CNN.com, and there's, what a weird fucking way to troll people with advertisements. I'm clicking on different news articles, and one of them says, Nazis will take over New York this Tuesday. The Nazis will conquer New York this Tuesday. Can you stop them? And I didn't even realize, all it is a fucking World War II game, and you click on it, and I'm like, you're literally on CNN.com advertising like it's fucking news, knowing that the way people use Nazis and that term right now is like a hot-button issue, and they created a clickbait fucking advertisement that CNN let them buy. God bless their souls. God bless them. I was like, oh, there's going to be a Nazis conquering New York on Tuesday? How much fun was that going to be? Am I the only one who feels that way? Like, if I found out that Nazis were coming to New York and doing a big rally in Central Park on Tuesday, I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go to their rally, and I wouldn't fight them, and I wouldn't support them, and I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't go, and it wouldn't even come close to affecting me. I mean, people drove airplanes into Lower Manhattan, and people were asleep a half a mile up the road, up Fifth Avenue. They just slept through it while a fucking World War III was going on in Lower Manhattan, and the airplanes were being smashed into buildings, and buildings were collapsing, and thousands of people were dying, and people just kind of slept through it. You know, I had a marketing class that went from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 9/11. I went to school on 24th Street and Lexington. Okay, look that up. Look up 24th Street and Lexington Avenue, and look up where Ground Zero is. Look at it on a map. If I had to guess, it's about 2 miles. You know, an actual distance, maybe 2.5 miles. They didn't even let class out. We had no idea. We just sat there. It was just going on. The point of the matter is, you don't have to fucking show up. These things only affect you if you let them affect you. You know, it's a social media thing. I say it all the time. I don't go on Facebook anymore. I'm completely off Facebook. I deleted my account a while ago. I'm just happy. There's all these people that I just thought were fucking gross. All these people that, like, I never really have to communicate with. You know, and they're in my timeline. I don't even like them. They're not my real friends. But because you perversely look at what they write and you kind of fucking hate it, right? And you engage in things in whatever way you do, or you look at their page every once in a while, you end up seeing these fucking people that you can't stand, and their ideology comes up in your timeline, and you fucking get enraged, and you feel gross, and I'm going like, I don't fucking need that. I don't want these people in my life. These people aren't supposed to be in my life. These people are supposed to be fucking gone, you know? I'm actually kind of excited because I'm going to have a 20-year, high school reunion coming up. Probably, what, in like 3 more years, something like that. I'll definitely go to this one. I have talked about this on other shows, but the main reason I didn't go is because my 10-year anniversary, I wasn't successful enough. I was still fucking, I had a day job, and I wasn't doing enough in my comedy career to feel like, you know, I don't know, just wasn't going. And we had Facebook. That was a real thing, too. It's like, because we had Facebook and social media, I saw these people. It wasn't like, I see their fucking kids, I see their jobs, I see what everyone's doing. It wasn't a big deal. But now, I'm successful enough, and now I'm on Facebook, so now I'm going to, like, really be disconnected from these people for a few years, and it's going to be kind of interesting to go back and have a conversation with some of these people and see what's going on. It's going to be much real. I'm going to tell you right now, dude, this website, this is, you know, I don't try to tell you guys to fucking live your lives in You know, live your lives whatever way you want to fucking live them. I'm just telling you right now, I'm personally a lot happier now that I've deleted Facebook out of my life. So, say what you want about it, but I am definitely substantially happier. Motherfuckers. Okay, that wasn't even what I wanted to talk about. I've been eating so fucking bad, guys. Ugh! That's the other thing, when I get sick is I can't exercise. And then, like, when my appetite came back a couple days ago, I've just been ravaging everything. Oh, it's been really bad. I'm gonna fucking... Whew. I gotta get back in shape, guys. I'm gonna get back in shape. We're filming some shit. Can't talk about it. Some super secret shit. Television related. But... yeah, we're filming in like the next 3 or 4 weeks, so yeah, I gotta get back in shape for that. Every time this fucking time of year comes around, dude, right after Christmas, it really becomes a fucking issue. Right up until Christmas, Thanksgiving to Christmas, and then I have to get back on the horse. And getting sick right now is the worst for it, dude. Oh my god. The idea of working out right now, every muscle in my body is fucking brutal. Brutal. I went yesterday and I got a massage because I'm so achy, and I was like, I just need, like... So, tell me if you think this is me being a cheap fuck, right? The massage, there's a massage place right near my place. It's $50 for an hour, okay? And it's sort of a ghetto massage place. When you go to a ghetto massage place... usually it's like $40 an hour, $35 an hour. This is a fucking expensive ghetto massage place, right? So you're like, all right, fine, motherfuckers. If you're gonna be expensive, you better be fucking better than the other ghetto massage places. They're not. They're as fucking generic as could be, right? And they bring this lady out, this older woman, okay, and she starts massaging me. And what I notice is while she's massaging me, she's got, I don't know if she's sick or she's got a weird like respiratory disease or whatever the fuck she got, dog, but it's not making me feel good. It's not making me enjoy my massage, because the way she's breathing, she'll massage me and she'll be like, yip. She'll do like that. She'll be like, yip. Not a hiccup, but almost like a yip. Like she's having trouble catching her breath. And then sometimes when she'd breathe out, you'd hear like a little clicking, like almost like a so she'd be massaging and you'd, you know, you hear like the Chinese music, like ooh doo doo. He's like, yeah. It's not like she's an old lady where I'm like fucking going like, all right, well, she's like an old lady. I guess she's making old lady sounds. You know, you can almost like weirdly get into the ambiance of her fucking old clicky lady fucking throat. It's kind of a younger chick, so I'm going like, you're just dying, bitch. You're just dying on top of me, and you're breathing into me. I'm already sick. My immune system is fucking weak as shit. So I'm already sick, and you're breathing weirdly into me. So the whole time, I'm just kind of uncomfortable. I'm not happy about it. And I keep on making faces while she's doing it, because I do, the first 40 minutes, I do my back massage, and then the last 20, she's doing my feet. So when I'm on my back, at this point, I'm annoyed. 40 minutes in, I'm kind of giving her the stink eye when she's doing it. So she knows her fucking weird, yucky Asian breathing is fucking pissing me off. So, all said and done, she does it. I give this bitch a $5 tip. Right? $50 massage, $5 tip. That's 10%. What do you want me to say? How much is the appropriate amount to tip for massage? Let's see. Okay. Some people use this figure across the board at restaurants, bars, spas, and salons with a price range 15%, 15 to 20%. Oh, they said they just use that. Yeah, they say they use it for a restaurant. 15 to 20% is appropriate. Okay, so yeah, I guess I'm giving her a cheap massage compared to what they're recommending people, or a cheap tip compared to what they're recommending people. But she had a weird fucking gross clicky fucking breathing thing. What am I supposed to say? It was unenjoyable. It's a fucking shitty massage. It didn't make me feel comfortable. She might have actually made me more sick. I might die because of this bitch. And then I'm tipping her? Fuck her. So, I won't be going back to that place. They didn't seem too happy with me, to be honest with you. I left, and that's the other thing about Asian people. I gotta give Asian people a little bit of respect, because they are real-ass dudes. They'll just tell you to your face, like, fuck you. Like, that's not a good tip. She's lucky she didn't say it too aggressively, because I'll take the five back, too. That's the other thing she doesn't realize, like, and she probably could say, tell the type of guy that I am, like, I don't fuck around. Like, she, you know, she was like, she said to the guy, like, she's looking at the five, and she went, domping, wah, 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 and she's saying it to the dude, and then I'm looking at her like, what, is there a problem, bitch? Because if she says that, why only $5, I'm going to be like, yeah, you know what, give my fucking five back, and I'm going to snatch that shit, and that's going to be her fucking tip, is never to cross a Puerto Rican while giving him a massage. But she got a $5 tip, doggy. What am I supposed to say? You charge more money for the fucking massage, okay? You're charging fucking $50. You're breathing all weird into my fucking head, in my throat, in my fucking space. And then you got an attitude about it. Not good. I would probably give a $10. I usually give a $10 tip. But I wanted her to know that I was not happy. So, what am I supposed to do? Write me an email. Let me know if you think I'm fucking crazy, guys. Oh, I'm sorry you had to listen to that. That fucking hockaloogie into your ear. I'm really sorry about that, guys. Oh, my God. Fuck. I was reading about just one of these stupid fucking BuzzFeed lists about the top defunct restaurant chains. There's some pretty good ones. I figured I'd, you know, talk about a few of them. This was interesting. There was one called White Tower. The first White Castle opened up in 1921 and became the first popular fast food chain. As is prone to happen in business, numerous imitators quickly opened. One of these knockoffs was known as White Tower. Opened by John E. Sachs and his son Thomas, White Tower copied White Castle's menu, style, advertising, and even architecture. At its height, there were 230 White Towers, but the chain died after legal action from White Castle forced them to make significant change. That is such a fucking hilarious way to live life. Like, imagine you're that person. Imagine you're the person, you're so uncreative that you're like, you go to your own son. It's like me going to James, my son. One day he's like 17, 18, he wants to get into business. And I'm just like, you know what, you see that fucking pizzeria across the street? They're doing really well. You know what we're going to do? We're going to open up another pizzeria. We're going to fucking name it almost the exact same thing. We're going to trick people into thinking that they're going to get that pizza, but really they're getting ours. And then him going, yep, that's it. That's my creative idea. And then his son going like, yeah, Dad, you're the fucking greatest, Pop. You did that. That's such an amazing idea. I'm so proud to be a part of this family. Like, what an uncreative fucking sack of shit. You know, and look, there's a certain amount of real-assness that's involved with being that fucking unapologetic, you know. You see this, look, that happens sometimes. There are, I won't even fucking name names, but there are comedy clubs that exist purely based off the fact that the Comedy Cellar is so popular. That's how popular the Comedy Cellar was. Other comedy clubs were able to open up based off of the spillover and the fact that people know that there's great comedy in the West Village and that the brand is so potent that people will sometimes happen into these other rooms thinking that they're going to some incredible comedy show when in reality is they're going to, you know, a knockoff. That happens. Okay? But you saw that there's like, we've talked about it on the show, those video companies that do like, you know, Star Worlds. You know, and it's like, it looks like Star Wars, but it says Star Worlds when you look closely to the box. And they hire actors with similar names, and their whole the whole business exists off of the fact that they're going to get a couple thousand people to spend the $20 on the DVD because they didn't pay close enough attention. And that's it. And they go, all right, cool, we can make this low enough budget that that's our entire business, is that there's dumb people out there and we can just fucking take their $20 and say, fuck it, who cares? And that's it. That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, how do you... I don't understand how... Like, look, I get it, like, from a business standpoint, you know, but I don't understand how... For me, business was always, like, partially creative. You know what I'm saying? Business was always, like, you know, a big part of business was putting the pieces together and getting all the different people to work together and, you know, whatever it is, like, whether you have a product or you have a sale or you have, you know, you kind of all come together and create this business, and at the end of it, you spit out some sort of profit and money at the end of it. But the creativity within that is kind of, you know, that's what gets you excited. You know, the money is obviously there. That's very exciting as well. But the fact that you can kind of really play and have fun and kind of, you know, you're creating money ultimately. That's what's really fun about it, right? When you're creating a business and you know, especially when it's not, you're not like buying pieces of a product and putting them together and assembling them and then selling them. When you're just doing a business like I'm doing, or the businesses that I've been involved with in the past, where it's really not these tangible things that you can hold, you're selling kind of an idea or, you know, a piece of content, which is not like, there's no like, nobody says a video is worth X amount of dollars. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird. It's a weird thing to try to put a value on, you know? But part of that, part of the fun in it is being able to kind of play and being able to get up and go like, oh shit, let's experiment and let's, you know, try something new and try something different and be unique. That's a very, very big part of it. You know, we could have taken the same money and the same amount of, you know, and it would have been way less risk. We could have opened up a fucking franchise. We could have franchised the, you know, a fucking, I don't know, where the Dunkin' Donuts. There's Dunkin' Donuts everywhere. We could have taken the same money that we've put into Gas Digital at this point, and we could have franchised the Dunkin' Donuts and did the research and probably made it a profitable business, you know, but that's not fucking fun, you know? There's nothing interesting about that. But on another level, these guys that go, hey, dude, fuck that. We're just going to knock that off outright, and we're going to just try to fucking make our money. That's like, it's another level of ballsy. Let's see, anything else on here? Chi-Chi's is another restaurant. I don't know if I ever went to Chi-Chi's. I had a Chihuahua named Chi-Chi when I was a little boy, because I couldn't say Chihuahua. I can only say Chi-Chi-Wawa. So we named her Chi-Chi. Cute story. That dog hated my fucking guts. She used to bite me anytime I would look at her. Her breath used to stink. She died of old age. She was this fucking little shitty rat-looking fucking Chihuahua. She had no teeth in her head because she was so old, and her breath was like, it made you want to puke. It smelled so bad. She'd bite you. She'd bite any boy or man. She was like a fucking dyke, right? And if you looked at her or looked at my sister, she'd jump off the couch and run at you and just bite you on the face. So me and my friends were all terrified of this little fucking awful rat dog, right? And we'd all, like, punch her in the head when she tried to fucking bite us because she was evil. And she literally had, like, a one bug eye. She was really a rat. And this fucking dog hated me. And if she bit you on your face, you had this stinky goo left on your face for the day. She, like, slimed you. Ah, it was so fucking gross. But, yeah, when she died, I remember she was, like, shaking. And she, like, came over to me on her fucking deathbed. She put her head right on my lap, and she like went to like lick my hand a little bit, and it was like the sweetest thing. She was so weak, but then when I talked to my sister about it, she made me realize that she was really probably trying to give me one final bite. But she just didn't have the power to really like get her jaw going, so she just kind of got her, you know, her mouth open and her tongue out and like, oh, fuck you, you spick. And then she died. I didn't give a fuck. Didn't shed one tear for that dog. Really hated that little bitch. Bob's Big Boy? That's not true. They're not fucking defunct. I went to a Bob's Big Boy recently. When did they close? Okay, yeah. They say, yeah, the chain is still holding about 100 locations. Yeah, fuckface. I knew they were still around because I went to one. Bennigan's? Yes. Ah, Bennigan's was so dope. Bennigan's. I didn't realize Bennigan's was a big chain. Bennigan's was one of America's first casual dining sports bar chains. However, they always lagged behind similar concepts from contemporaries like Friday's, Applebee's, and Chili's. The chain sold several times and filed bankruptcy in 2008. Okay, they have 23 locations in the U.S. So I liked Bennigan's, man. You know what? I'm going to go to a fuck. Where's a Bennigan's? Let's see. Bennigan's. Locations. Open. Vineland, New Jersey. Fuck yeah, dude. There's one. There you go. Okay, there's some fucking... We got some fucking Bennigan's, doggy. Alright, not many. Clarksburg, Maryland. Dude, Vineland, New Jersey. Whoa. They're open right now. How far is Vineland? Alright, let's see. Distance between Vineland, New Jersey, and NYC. I feel like I was just in Vineland, New Jersey. 2 hours and 8 minutes, dude. Dude, we're going to go to a Bennigan's. I'm going to make it a whole fucking thing, doggy. I'm going to a Bennigan's sometime very soon. And maybe if you're a real-ass fan, you can come with me. I don't know. Let me see. Are there any other locations or any other restaurants I want to... I don't know. Guys, I'm sorry. I apologize. It's a fucking nightmare. I'm just rambling. I'm all fucking zonked out on DayQuil and NyQuil mixtures. Let's see. Alright, look, I'm going to wrap this one up in a second. I've gone 50 minutes. It's pretty good. All things considered, I didn't think I was going to be able to do 50 minutes. Ponderosa, remember that shithole? Yeah. Yeah, alright. This is it, guys. Go check out that list. That's a fun fucking list. Live in the past. Nostalgia, man. Come on, man. You gotta go live in the past. Thinking about when we were teenagers. Henry's Hamburgers. I never even heard of Henry's Hamburgers. There's only one left in Benton Arbor, Michigan. I'd go there. Fuck it, doggy. I like shit like that. You know, I really like, you know, if there was one left, like, isn't there, like, one Blockbuster video left or something? I would love to go to that Blockbuster and just fucking go check out a tape. Why not? Be an asshole, right? That was the fun fucking thing about being a kid, you know? That's it. I was talking before. We'll wrap it up with a little fucking neat little bow here, right? Talking about business, the fun about business and running your own business is being able to play, right? Like, obviously you want to make money, but you want to fucking, you want to be able to kind of, like, you know, not... You don't want to really have the restrictions of a traditional day job and have somebody tell you, you know, when you have to go here or do this or how do you have to do it. Running your own business and being an entrepreneur, you get to kind of just have the freedom to fucking, you know, do what you want to do. You know, I think ultimately if you're doing it right, that's a successful way, right? If you're really successful, you're kind of making up your own rules. That's what I'd like to think. And it's, that's how we were as kids, man, you know? There was no fucking rules. I remember one time me and my friend Dave and his sisters Liz and Emily, we said we were going to go and just get a Slurpee from every 7-Eleven in Rockland County. And we went to like 14 7-Elevens overnight one night. For no reason, dude. For no reason. We just said because we were bored and it was fun and it was for a story. And who gave a shit? We had nothing else to do. What was the difference between us sitting in the backyard and fucking... bullshitting on that ride to each 7-Eleven and fucking, you know, getting to say that we tried every 7-Eleven or every Slurpee at every 7-Eleven in Rockland County that night. It's stupid, I know. Maybe it doesn't make sense to you guys, but for me, that's like ultimate success, is being able to try every Slurpee in Rockland County. No, but being able to just fucking say, fuck it, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, let's do what we want to do. That's what we wanted to do in that moment. I had all those moments when I was a kid. You know, we drive to the city at like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, just say we're going to touch 42nd Street and Broadway. We're just going to put our hand on the corner because. For nothing, that literally we just drive to the city and go down to the city and fucking do it and get out of the car and fucking be like, we're in New York City for no reason. It's a Tuesday. We're just bored fucking kids just trying to fucking make sense of life and just trying, you know, it was, you know, those were like the coolest times. It was nothing. We did that so many times. Just we did nothing to do something so many fucking times, you know, and I think that's lost as you get older. We don't do that. We don't go to Bennigan's in Vineland, New Jersey. I'm going to fucking Bennigan's in Vineland, New Jersey. I haven't been to a Bennigan's since I was 13 years old, 12 years old, when I used to work at Bruno's Hair Salon as a gopher. Meaning I would get all the girls that worked at the hair salon their lunch. They would give me their lunch order. Instead of ordering Chinese food and having them deliver it, they would give it to me. I'd go pick it up. I would deliver it to them, and they'd tip me out. So I'd get like 30, 40 bucks a day in tips. You know, being sort of like a lunch gopher and sweeping up hair and shit, right? But there was a Bennigan's like a couple blocks away from the salon, and once in a blue, I'd go see a movie by myself. I'd go eat some Bennigan's by myself. Had a very special relationship with Bennigan's. A little 12-year-old boy eating at Bennigan's by myself, a sports bar, eating chicken fajitas. Living his fucking life. That's where I bought all my magic tricks. That job, that's I'd buy my magic tricks at Knick Knacks too, which was a little like joke shop that had like magic tricks and like gifts and little fun things you could buy, pranks and stuff. The movie theater was right there. This is all New City, New York, and then Bennigan's. And yeah, dude, I haven't even thought about Bennigan's since I was a kid. So that's it. I'm going to Bennigan's soon. That's the name of this episode. I'm going to Bennigan's. I did 55 minutes. Go fuck yourself, guys. If this wasn't the most enjoyable podcast, you could suck a dick, because I'm really sick and I fucking put it together for you. So you're welcome. All right, I'm out. Thank you. Love you. Peace.